Father, indeed, as we come before thee and open thy word, we pray a blessing upon it and upon all of us that are here. Lord, that we would hear thy word and do it. In Christ we pray. Amen. I'd like if you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As we are going through Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14, they are really intertwined. So keep that in mind. We're going to be doing 12. 13, of course, is the chapter on love. And then we'll do 14. So right now we're going to focus on chapter 12. And although I am going to read the whole chapter and talk about the whole chapter, but you can summarize all of chapter 12 with verse 7, where it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Otherwise saying that spiritual gifts, you know, manifest in our body, spiritual gifts are for the profit of the body of Christ. That is their purpose. And as we read and see what Paul has to say, this is going to become very clear. So if you would read with me, starting at verse 1 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another the faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally," or individually, "as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all, and been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members, in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I've stopped and read all of chapter 12. So going back to the beginning, he starts out and he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of these spiritual gifts. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away by dumb idols, even as you were led. So remember, here is the church of Corinth. There are Jews, there are Gentiles. It's a cosmopolitan city. Lots of things going on. And he's reminding the Gentiles in particular here that how they were brought up and the experiences that they had, we need to be careful. They needed to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't view everything through that glass, those glasses of how we were raised or how we think it should be, because that's not always how it is. And so then he goes on to say, wherefore I give unto you understanding that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse. And so let's just give an example out of the book of Acts. And if we turn back to Acts chapter 19, there were, if you remember, seven sons of Sceva. So let me go there, chapter 19. I'm going to start with verse 11 and just read a couple. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto him sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So here was Paul, and in this particular case, he had the gift of healing. He didn't always have the gift of healing. It's mentioned in Timothy that Paul couldn't really help Timothy. He said, drink a little wine for your stomach, you know, because he had some problem. But he didn't heal Timothy. There were Trophimus he left in 2 Timothy 4:20. It says, Trophimus he left sick in Miletus. So he didn't heal Trophimus. So it wasn't that he always had this gift, but at this point in time, and once again, what is the purpose of the gift? The purpose of the gift is for the profit of the body of Christ. It was not for Trophimus's profit. It was not for Timothy's profit. All these people that were being healed, it was really not for their profit, but for the greater body of Christ, that people would see, believe, and be healed spiritually as a brother, come to God. So that is the mindset. That's why it's so important to understand the reasons for the spiritual gifts. So here is Paul back in Acts. Even if they took a handkerchief from Paul and took it to somebody that was sick, they were getting better, right? And then it says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, or kind of traveling Jews, vagabond has a different meaning now, exorcists took upon them to call over them that had evil spirits. To call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. So that's what they were doing. They were healing in Jesus' name. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks and dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So once again, even this, where you have people that were not part of the body of Christ, right? And this is important to understand. There were these examples, and there were people in Christ's name doing things or trying to do things, and it was important that people were, and we're going to talk about, able to discern spirits is another gift, right? So there are these gifts that are given. Not every gift goes to every person, This is important to understand. Not every person has the gift all the time. But here, Paul is saying to the Gentiles he's writing to here, you are ignorant, but it's important for you to know that to determine if it's a gift from the Spirit of God, how does it portray Christ? Is it a benefit to the body? Okay. In Matthew 7:22, we also have reference where many said unto him, you know, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name? And he says, go thy way, I never knew you. Right? There are many people who say that they're members of the body of Christ, but they aren't. And we need to be careful with the glasses that we have on, whether they're real glasses or just spiritual glasses, right? To be able to discern what is God's spirit and what is a misleading spirit. And then in verse 4 through 6, he says, Spirit, Lord, and God, right? He says, verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of an administration, but the same Lord. And there are differences, diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So this is interesting how the triune nature of God is brought out even here. And first off, it talks about gifts. Gifts are these extra abilities that you would not normally have, right? In Exodus, when you read in Exodus 35, 31, and actually I do want to turn there just for a minute. 35:31, even before the Holy Spirit was given to man, let's say, he's still in operation. And Moses, this is talking about Moses. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Beelzebul, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the son of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him. So God has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works in gold and silver and brass, and in the cutting of stones, and in them, and to set them, and in the carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. So even there are gifts of metalworking and woodworking. So a lot of times we think we have this complete list here listed out for us. These are the gifts of the Spirit. But the truth of the matter, I think it's a subset is what we're really looking at. Then Paul goes on to enumerate the different types of gifts, at least some of them. And he enumerates, the words of wisdom. And just going back through scripture, just to have an example or two, back in Acts, we remember that the Hellenistic Jews, the widows were being neglected in the book of Acts. And there was trouble. You know, my family's being neglected. Your family's not, your widows are not being neglected. What do we do? And so they got together and they decided to set up, I think it was 7 deacons, to take care of those. And it looks like there at least 5 of the 7 were the Greeks, right? The people whose widows were really needing some help. And so there were some words of wisdom given there. That was a wise thing to do. And later on, when Stephen, one of those, was called before the chief priests and asked to give account, he gives all of chapter 7 incredible words of wisdom coming forth from him. And he just indicts them to the point that they're so guilty, they end up stoning him. But these words of wisdom came upon Stephen. Right? So that's a word of wisdom. And then it says word of faith. You know, the next verse, to another faith by the same Spirit. And Paul is making a point here. It's all by the same Spirit. It's all by the Spirit of God. And so when we think of the word of faith, let's go to Acts chapter 3 momentarily. And in Acts 3, if you remember, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. And there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb, and he was asking for alms. And Peter and John looked at him, and Peter fastened his eyes and said, "Look on us." And this man was asking, you know, thinking he's going to get some money. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man rose up and he walked, right? And you think, well, okay. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. So here was the faith that Peter had to just call him out. "It's time for you to get up and walk. You've been laying there for too long, right? Get up and walk." Peter had great faith at this time, even though we know that not too many, you know, days before, or weeks or months before, Peter was really challenged with faith, right? But now he has the faith. He says, "Get up and walk." And as the lame man was healed and all the people ran together and Peter took the time, they all came and said, "What's going on?" And Peter saw it. He answered and said unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly at us? Though it is by our power or holiness that we have made this man to walk." And then he goes to talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God that you know and that you serve. Has glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up to be crucified, right? So here again, there was a faith by Peter, there was a healing done, and God's name was praised, right? Once again, what's the purpose? God's name was praised. Word of faith, Abraham, we talked about this morning. Father of faith. Well, he had a lapse of faith sometimes, right? Elijah, you know, slaying the 400 prophets of Baal, he had a lapse of faith. But God looks beyond that. So there are these gifts of faith, there are these empowerments that can come upon his children as needed, as he sees fit, it says in verse 18. We talked a little bit about healing. Paul can heal, and then he didn't always heal. Miracles. You think of Daniel in the lion's den. Well, you know, Daniel was saved from the lion's den, and it was considered a miracle, and God was glorified in that. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, same thing. Thrown into the fire, almost, you know, more miraculously, right? They didn't burn. God was praised in these. gift of prophecy. Not often, but, you know, the whole book of Revelation, actually, it's a revelation to Jesus, who tells John about it, but the gift of prophecy was given there. And a gift of discerning of the spirits. These, once again, that means that not always everybody can discern the spirits, the different spirits, and sometimes it's hard when you have people like the seven sons of Sceva that in Jesus' name are saying one thing, but really their heart's not right. It's not right, and so that is an ability to discern, is it from God or not, is even a gift, right? It's as it pleased him. And then Paul goes on to give this analogy to the body and how, you know, the feet and the eyes and the ears and the mouth, all of those have important parts of our body, right? I don't think of myself as a hand. I don't think of myself as a foot. I think of myself as a whole, complete body. And the other day, I somehow got a sliver. Have you ever got a sliver? Right? You know instantly. And I couldn't see it. But it was there. And so what did I do? Oh, I need my tweezers. I have a little really pointy tweezers, right? I need a microscope. So wherever I am, I forget, I was outside. I go in the house. I take off my shoes. I go upstairs. I pull out the little microscope and the little tweezers. And, you know, I'm trying to find it. Ah, there it is. And I spend all that time to pull it out, and then I'm seeing if it was bleeding. How deep was it, right? But it was such a relief. That little tiny sliver was affecting part of my body. And Paul is making the point here that all of us are important parts of the body, and at any given time, we can have a sliver or something worse happening, right? And it demands attention. We need to think about paying attention to every part of the body of Christ and trying to help. You know, my feet had to move, right? My legs had to take me up the stairs. My eyes had to look. My other hand had to help this hand, right? And then it talks about the less comely parts. You know, let's talk about the liver and the kidneys and the lungs and the heart. You know, there's not so visible. Nobody, they don't look at you. I can see that your kidney's doing well today, you know? You know, unfortunately, you can sometimes just because of the color of your skin, right? But if those aren't functioning, the body is hurting. And I think we have this challenge to us today as we look around. You know, some of the parts of our body here at this congregation are not here. And it's either because they are challenged by getting sick and so they can't be here, or they are infirm in some other ways, or maybe they're traveling. There's a dozens or thousands of different reasons why every part of the body can't get together all the time. But every part of the body is important. And so it's important for us to reach out and make sure that, you know, we need to check and self-check. How's the, you know, every part of the body doing? This is our challenge. And then as part of the body, I know there's this temptation to say, oh, you know, I'm not so important, you know. I'm just the little toe. You know, the little toe is not so important. But I can tell you the little toe is important, right? And then there's so we have to fight that temptation to demean ourselves and to think we're not important. It's not important that we go to church or that we use any, whatever the spiritual gift we have is. You might have the gift of encouragement, right? And I remember in The Pilgrim's Progress by Paul Bunyan. John Bunyan, sorry. Babe the Blue Ox, that's a different one, right? John Bunyan. The Pilgrim's Progress Christian, he is going through and he gets down into despond and it says the sloth or the slough of despond, right? And who helps him? Well, help. That's how Pilgrim's Progress works. Help comes and he encourages him and lifts him out and gets him out of there, right? Well, help was a very important person in Christian's life. And where would we be without help, right? You might have that gift of help. You might have that gift of cleaning or woodworking, or you might have that gift of preaching or teaching. And those gifts come and those gifts go. Depending, once again, is it necessary for the body of Christ? And if God has bestowed that gift upon you, and you know, there is a gift or two or three that you have, are you using it to help the body of Christ? So one is to belittle yourself and say, I'm not so important. Another is to say, you know what? I don't want to be a foot. You know, it's dark in here. I got a lot of weight to carry. You know, this is a tough job, right? I want to be the nose, right? And the nose, you know, I don't want this job. You know, I got to smell. You know, I don't want that job. I want to be the feet, right? Well, how would it be if your nose runs and your feet smell, right? It's wrong. That's not how it should be. He makes this point, right? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? He makes it very plain to us that whatever gifts we have, we need to be content, right? We need to be content with it. We need to use them to the best of our abilities. And these are supernatural abilities, right? God brings them to us and brings circumstances to us right when they are needed. You got to be ready to use them. That there should be no schism or no division in the body, right? But that the members should have the same care one for another. So he does bring it all around, right? He talks about the body. He talks about the importance of the hands and the ears and the eyes. But really, he brings it by so there should be no schism or division, that there should be nobody really hurting or lonely or in need, because there is a talent, there is a gift that Christ has that in his body that keep that whole body fitly framed together, it says. And God has set some apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And then he goes on, are all apostles? Well, no, all are not apostles. Are all prophets? No. The answer again is no. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gift of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. So another part that is important, and this can cause division in the body, right? Not necessarily here, but in some churches, there is that contention about, oh, do you speak in tongues or you don't? Well, I'll pray for you, brother, right? You want to say, well, do you have the gift of raising the dead? Oh, you don't? Well, I'll pray for you, brother. You know, they're assuming, and they're to their pride, right? And it's very plain that all of these gifts, not everybody has all of these gifts, and not even all the time. So it's important to know and not be jealous of other people's gifts or not be putting on somebody else what you think they should or should not have. But really, we're going to not get into all of chapter 13 or at all, really, but it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. The best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So I want to just give you an example, right? If the gifts, the more excellent way is love. That's all chapter 13. We're going to talk about that at the next sermon. But the best gift is love. And so if you think about your gifts as a container, but what's inside the container, right? Love's inside the container, right? Because it doesn't matter what your gift is if you're not doing it with love. And then you go, well, what's the best container? You know, is a 5-gallon bucket a good container? Or maybe a 1-gallon, like a milk jug or something, you know, a good container, right? Or maybe a 40-ounce thermos, that's a good one. Or maybe a cup, like a cup of coffee, that's a good container, right? 55-gallon industrial drum, now there's some container, right? A 40-yard bin, that's a container, right? But we know that each one of those containers, just like gifts, right? Each one of those containers has a unique purpose. I can't carry around a 40-yard container. I can't carry around a 55-gallon drum. A 40-ounce thermos, maybe that's always handy, right? But if I need to put out a fire, that ain't going to do it for me. Maybe I need some 5-gallon buckets and some fire hoses, right? Whatever containers are for the thing at need. Just like, you know, it's another analogy, right? There is a container for every purpose, and everyone's special. And I probably have one of all those ones I have somewhere at my house. Right? It's important to understand that. We have a special number for this morning. It's a song called I Found It All, and I would like to read the lyrics. Key here is that what they thought, right, was important, it wasn't important. It was the Spirit of God leading them to what's important. What I thought was best for me, no. It's what's best for the body of Christ is best for me. When my hand feeds my mouth, you know, the hand can say, oh, that's so much work. You know, I have to, the one hand has to coordinate with the knife, and this one, the fork, the way I'm feeding the mouth, right? But the mouth, it sends it on down to the more comely parts, right? And it goes through, and it's digested, and gives energy, and all of a sudden, the hands have energy to work, right? So each one of our members helps the other member work. And so let me read the words. I thought it might be in my name, a shining legacy. I thought it might be in a goal for success to follow me. I thought it might be in a plan to sail across the seas. But I didn't find what I really need. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve a risen King. I found the truth that I'd been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I'm letting go of all my ways that I think are best for me. I'm laying down all my ideas of what I think my life should be. I'm leaving everything I am right at Jesus' feet, for it is here I find everything I need.